The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
So I did bring in a secret sauce this week. We're doing a launch party tonight as well. There's the bottle, man.
Jeez.
Secret sauce. For the audio listeners, yeah, it's on the table right now. Secret sauce. You can get that burger in German Doner Kebab. Officially, I've got my own sauce. HP like the sauce.
It's amazing.
Of course, with my boy Young Philly.
Didn't realize that it says YF and HP.
We're trying to get out of this. Trying to get out of the hood, man.
Nah, that's hard, man.
Nah, it's amazing.
I can't wait to get a burger.
I thought you were going to say something crazy.
I'm trying to...
Because what you said before...
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to keep it...
Yeah, please.
You know what I mean?
You've got a tendency to go left as well. You know what I like, though, I like your honesty. Mm. So the other day, I was watching FCM.
Yes.
And you know what killed me? You put water in your eyes, and said that the North London derby was probably one of the worst in terms of dribbling, But Arsenal ended up getting the win, which it's kind of inevitable against Spurs. If they don't score first, I feel like there's an issue at hand.
Yeah.
But they got the win. They're now 2 points off Man City, right? Mm. Going into this crucial, crucial game at the Etihad, Man City against Arsenal. Mm. Now, Man City have, you alluded to it last week about Pep saying that it's literally pre-season.
Yeah.
And it started again. Erling Haaland can't stop scoring. Declan Rice will be back.
Yeah.
How, in your opinion, how is this game going to go? Is it regular programming or Arsenal, are they going to showcase what they're good at? Because defensively, I think they're absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
They know exactly how to defend well as a team. And I think they're going to need to do that against against this this Man City team. Obviously, Erling Haaland will be probably difficult against Gabriel and Saliba. But what's your opinion on this game?
I think everything you said there, man, defensively, I think Arsenal are going to show why they're probably the best in the world defensively at the moment in terms of a unit. You rarely see individual mistakes. You rarely see Arsenal get punished for silly goals. You know what I mean? To beat Arsenal, to score against Arsenal, you really have to do something very good, you know, most of the time. So when I'm looking at it and I'm looking at the way Inter just set up against City.
Yeah.
Well, Inter, by the way, they're counter and they actually were playing out from the back still, despite playing in a low block. What Inzaghi did was amazing. I think Teta, I think Arsenal are going to play a deep block. I don't know if they're going to play out as well as Inter did in their moments, but they're going to show, keep it compact, keep it tight. It's very hard to break them down. And City, against these low blocks, against the top opposition, it's a struggle for them. You know what I mean? And naturally. But the thing is, I think, so when I look at Arsenal, as you said, Declan Rice is back. They might set up the same way they did against Spurs. Not going to be as easy. I don't think they can... If you have 36 possession against City, you're playing with your chances there. Yeah, I mean, Spurs, whatever. But against City, it might be a bit difficult. So they're going to need to do a little bit better on the ball. Arteta said that as well. Like, against Spurs, they weren't good enough on the ball. And obviously, a set piece bailed them out. But I'm looking at City in the big games, right? Last season, they didn't have the greatest results in the big games. They actually only beat us and they beat Spurs, I think, in one game. Yeah, us and Spurs. And technically, we weren't even levels. Do you get where I'm coming from? Something about Man City in the big games against teams that sit back, I feel like they play too slow, bro. I think they play too slow. And I watched it again. And everyone walks away from these games and they'll be like, another big game, no Erling Haaland goal. See, he only bullies the small teams. But people need to actually look at the way City play. Like, Haaland relies on speed in anything he does. Speed of movement, speed in transition, speed everything. Speed the way he gets shots off. And when you look at the way City plays, it's very side to side and in pass. And it ends up the point where every team have the ability to set their defence again. even in transition moments, in the big games, it's like City don't want to take that risk. So all of a sudden, the teams have all their players back, and now it's just Haaland standing with two centre-backs. Beast, bro. They had two beasts at the back. Bastoni is a beast. Same thing that Arsenal are going to have with Saliba and Gabriel. Two guys just standing, and he's just there. Then all of a sudden, you're looking at him, and you're thinking, oh, limited player. Why? This is what he does. He can't score in the big games. But you look at the way they set up. The only way they're going to score is an inch-perfect pass to Haaland. And that is small probabilities.
I agree. I think when I've watched City, when they've dominated games, even the games that, like, you know, they've been bailed out by, you know, Kevin De Bruyne, just finding that inch-perfect pass, right? I believe that with City, they don't mind that to some aspect against a team like Arsenal, nullifying them in terms of them attacking them. Yeah. You know Arsenal are great defensively, right? But they do have the players to be able to find that pass, right? And they have lion's share of the possession. And I think Arteta will probably concede that.
Yeah.
Going toe-to-toe with them, trying to play football, I don't even think Arsenal have the players in the final third to play that way because Odegaard's injured. I don't think Martinelli is the best with that style of football as well. But I also think, with City, there's something about them that I think they'll look at this game and think, this isn't the be-all, end-all for us. I think with Arsenal, it will be. I think Arteta has failed a few times when it comes to actually getting that win against Arsenal. They drew against them last season. And in the grand scheme of things, them 2 points cost them. So my question to you is Arteta going into this game, probably trying to change his game plan, looking at the game against Inter Milan and also the way they played against Spurs and go, this ain't good enough. We've got to be risky, especially, you know, this game will obviously make, if City win, then they're 5 points ahead. If Arsenal lose, then they're 1 point ahead of Man City. Do you think he's going to change the way they play? Because if you look at the stats, the XG and all of that stuff, City are in favour.
Yeah, I don't think so, you know. Mm. I don't think so. I mean, I understand what you're saying. If it was maybe March, February, maybe. But I think it's too early in the season for either team to overcommit. And I think we're going to get a cagey game that's going to be decided by one goal. Maybe that might be a 2-1, or that could be a 1-0, or it could even be a 0-0. I think it's going to be cagey. Both teams don't want to let too much go. Like, why lose to Arsenal fifth game in the season? Why lose to City fifth game in the season? I think Arteta will be looking at, he had Villa away, 1. Spurs away, 1. Walk away with a point against Arsenal, he's happy. You know what I mean? I think the only thing they need to do is be better on the counter. Yeah. You know what I mean? At least offer a threat on the counter. Saka's got to try and punish on Vardy or whoever plays. Martinelli or Sterling, if he plays. Sterling's got a few goals against City since he's left. Maybe he can be start or whatever and try and penetrate their defence, because City still needs to have some pressure. Because once City start feeling there's nothing coming, they just keep going and going. And all of a sudden, Rodri ends up in the box.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he scored. You know what I mean? So they need to kind of make sure that they still have that threat going that way. Because that's what Inter done. Even though Inter defended deep, they still made City think always that, listen, make a little mistake or lose the ball here, we're going. You know what I mean? When City start feeling it too much, then it becomes very, very peak. They get down the sides, they start drilling crosses across the box, and it's tough. But I'm just looking at this game, and I feel like it's just going to be what they say, chess match. You know what I mean? They call it a chess match. Two teams with different styles in the game anyway, just struggling to break each other down. And I think that's just what it's going to be, man. I think we're going to walk away again. I said earlier in the week, until I saw the Inter game, and I was like, again, City are moving the ball slow and stuff, that I thought Haaland would get his goal. But now I'm looking at it, and I'm like, will he score? It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. Saliba and Gabriel are on form. And just the way City play in these games, it just doesn't suit him. But in, you know, the big games, by the way. But City could have won, by the way. Yeah. And Inter had a lot of chances too, so... Yeah. But I think that Erling Haaland, it's Haaland's fault. Bro.
I think, like, Erling Haaland, he ain't my type of striker, if I'm being honest. I don't enjoy that type of striker. Yeah. I really respect his goal scoring. And I think, like you said, when City are dominant and there's so much passages of play and it's very quick and it's nippy, as you said, then we see the best of Haaland. Haaland loves running off the last defender. He loves bullying. And I don't think he'll be able to do that there. Mm. And I think his strengths get nullified, and it makes people come up with these crazy things that he's not a great striker. But I think for Haaland, what I look at when I look at these games, or when games are tight, he needs to find something different. He's the focal point of that attack. He's the end product. And if he can only score when things are great, or when they're dominating a team, it's going to be a question mark for City. However, I do believe that City have got so much great players. I also think, yeah, this is, we spoke about Grealish before, right? I think Grealish, yeah, we saw how he plays against England, for England. When he plays like that and he's free to dribble, that creates space.
That's the thing.
And I think that, obviously, you can't tell a manager who's won it all to change the way he plays for a game like this, which is like the fifth game in the season, But I think that's the only way you can unlock.
Do you want to see like Grealish in midfield?
I want to see him left wing. Yeah, I don't want to see him there. Nah, like Doku, is a scary player to play against. Yeah, and 9 times out of 10, he will cause problems. Mm. His end product's always an issue, right? But I don't think Grealish is better when he floats in.
Yeah,
Kevin De Bruyne might be a doubt, so he might not play as well. And he just plays wherever he wants, really. But I'm looking at Haaland and I'm like, you're not going to have fun against these two. Mm-hmm. You need to try and, I don't know, go head to head with them or make runs, but there's no one else. He's like Doku, I've watched him and Haaland. I don't think they like each other.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Doku, I don't think you don't like him, but I think he's confused that he's going to do.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know. I've made this run.
Yeah.
You've just chopped someone else again and got into problems.
It's the Ronaldo, it's the CR7 Van Nistelrooy thing early. Van Nistelrooy did not like playing with Ronaldo because he was like, David Beckham will send the cross in immediately.
Yeah.
But Ronaldo, he'll look like he's going to send it, chop. Now Van Nistelrooy has to move it, chop again. And then next thing you know, the cross doesn't even come in, or the cross comes in and it's gone way away from where he is. So I think that is the case of Haaland. Even when I was looking at Savio yesterday, I think they're going to have that issue with Savio too. Yeah. As talented as Savio is, he's still unpredictable. Mm. Times where he could have slid the fullback in on the side or the person beside him and he cuts in and he's trying to shoot. Like, he got the ball 3 times in a row and tried to shoot. And I'm like, bro, Haaland's not going to want to feast off that. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I think they'll have that issue. And I do agree, bro. Like, sometimes I think, like, the way to beat low blocks is dribbling.
Yeah.
The way to beat is by committing men. And I do think Jack Grealish can do that. I think Foden nowadays, like, as good as Foden is for City, he just shoots too much a little bit. Not shoots too much, but I think his shooting
That's
is
crazy
first.
Because there was that time where it was like, we need him to take more shots on.
Not even shoots too much. Maybe that's the wrong word to say. But his first thought is shoot.
Yeah.
It's not create. It's turn and bang it. Do you get where I'm coming from? And against Arsenal, let's not be surprised to see City have about 10 shots outside the box. I mean, Foden probably have like 5 of them if he starts, honestly. Yeah. So I just think they need to commit men a little bit more against a team like Arsenal. It's going to be tough.
But Arsenal now, like you said, they weren't as great as we've seen them over the past few seasons. But they did get the win. And for me personally, I felt like there was no firepower. Mm. It didn't look like they was going to score off against, apart from the set piece, right? Now, Saka is probably their most important player now that Odegaard's out, yeah? Mm. Do you reckon Raheem Sterling, it's time for to unleash Raheem Sterling?
I would.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, if you look at the way Chelsea played against City last season, Sterling got in behind their defence like 4 or 5 times across those games, bro. Mm. I would actually play him, but I think he understands how to exploit City's defence. And that's not because he's played with him or anything.
That's just the way he plays.
Sterling has a much better awareness for attacking spaces than a Martinelli does. And Martinelli is decent at it, but Martinelli, he's a bit lost at the moment. Mm. But Sterling, I think he knows. And the thing is, I think it was Kyle Walker as well. I think he actually said Sterling's one of the hardest people he's ever played against. Mm. Like, it's instantly when you have that respect from someone. It's the same thing with like when Rashford plays Ben White. Mm. Ben White knows that's the toughest.
It's nightmares. It's nightmares. You remember?
He never plays well against him. It's like all of a sudden he just can't defend. It's like it's all in the mind. You know, football's in the mind, bro. Yeah. So I think I would actually play Raheem Sterling cooked Sterling. I mean, Raheem Sterling cooked Walker last season in the fixture. So I would start Sterling. I would start Sterling. Havertz, Sterling, and Saka. I would go for it. I think it gives you a better counter threat as well.
So what do you think? Because Trossard, there's been a lot of talk about he's better off the bench rather than starting. And in the Spurs game, I forgot he was playing for a moment of time. What position do you reckon he needs to play for Arsenal this season in order for them to get the best out of him? Because he definitely is a top player. Yeah. But when he starts for Arsenal, it just seems as if the game's taking him away.
Yeah, I think, obviously, if he's starting, I actually think starting maybe is the centre forward. I think it's maybe centre forward. Yeah, man, because he's so good at like reacting where the cutbacks are gonna be and just being in the. And obviously, if he gets a snapshot, he's a great finisher. Mm. I actually think it's there when he's starting. If it's off the bench, then the left wing is fine and stuff. Mm. But Trossard hasn't got pace anymore. He can't. He can dribble, but he doesn't really go and trying to rip man and stuff off the wing. So, I think I would probably say centre forward. But then Kai Havertz is playing well there. That's the problem. Kai Havertz is playing well, so. So much so that Teta didn't even move Havertz, which he signed him as a midfielder, didn't even move him in midfield against Spurs. He kept Trossard there. So he has the faith of Arteta right now as the nine. Mm. So when you're looking at that, I'm like, Trossard's going to have to play midfield again. But against that City midfield, it's different to Spurs. It's not James Maddison.
Is Rodri back?
Bentancur. Yes, bruv.
Did he play yesterday?
Yeah, he played yesterday, yeah. And he played well. But KDB might be injured, so maybe that's a bonus. But at the same time, Trossard in midfield against that midfield is going to be tough for Arsenal, bro. How do you think like in terms of, obviously we watched the game, Martinelli didn't play too well. Saka didn't play too well. Nobody really
like
played too outstanding. Partey, Jorginho, obviously Rice is going to.
I liked Jorginho against Spurs.
Did you?
I just think his positioning is really good. I think sometimes when I think Partey sometimes he overcommits and he overplays, and that creates a movement for example, like Madison to try and Bentancur to try. But I think Jorginho, just him being in the place, it stops so much. He's a very smart midfield player.
Yeah.
So much so that even when the game was done, Arteta came over to him and was giving him his flowers, because Jorginho's a good player.
Mm.
Very, very seasoned professional, and I think he understands that role really, really well. And against, I think when Arteta's probably looking at this, he's going to think, okay, we're probably not going to have a lot of possession, but we need to keep our midfield regimented. Mm. So I need to make sure that alongside Declan Rice, I have someone there. And I think he'll probably choose Jorginho over Partey if the.
Oh, you reckon? Oh, I think he'll stay with Partey, you know. I think he's going to go with Partey and Rice.
I don't know. It probably would. I would prefer, just based off the game. Like, I think Partey in that game looked like a bit like a headless chicken a bit.
Yeah.
And I think against the Spurs team, with all due respect, City ain't the ones that you need to be taking those risks with.
Yeah.
But yeah, you was going to ask me.
I was going to say, so with Saliba and Gabriel, obviously we've seen many partnerships in the Premier League instead of defensively. How do you see them, and where do you kind of, you don't have to give me an official ranking, but where do you see them in terms of the top partnerships in Premier League history that you've seen?
I think in recent times, they're probably the two best that I've seen in a very long while. And I'm talking about from the Rios and the Vidic and the Terry Carvalho, The only, obviously, people say they haven't won anything yet, but that's just because of what's going on with City right now. City are just such a powerhouse, but I really enjoy the way they play. I think they're two different type of defenders.
Yeah.
I think Saliba is... You know, I think he's better on the ball, but he knows how to read the game really well as well. But Gabriel just seems to have... He's an animal. He's a beast. He'll pop up and score goals.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're a complete partnership. Mm-hmm. And I think over the next few years, if they stay together as a partnership, we could be having conversations about them not being the best, but being up there.
Yeah.
I can't really rank them right now, but over the last maybe... 5-10 years, I think they've been the best partnership I've seen.
And that's the best thing about it. With them, when you look at it, is that you talk about them together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As much as Saliba, probably the higher rated one, I rate Saliba higher, but you talk about them together. And that was the same thing. Like, as time has gone on, people kind of have given John Terry and Rio the clout over Carvalho and Vidic. But if you lived through their moment, it was very much... Who's better?
Yeah.
Who's better? It wasn't like living through their moments, especially in the first two seasons. It's because remember, Carvalho came off winning the Champions League at Porto.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a conversation where John Terry's absolutely clear. Yes, he won the Player of the Year, but it was, you would always mention them together.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Rio and Vidic. Time has passed now and people keep posting all these Vidic fail comps and stuff, but let's have it right. Vidic was levels with Rio them days.
Didn't he win player of the season twice?
Vidic was levels with Rio them days. So that's the thing. When you speak about these two, it's kind of similar in terms of you have to mention them together. Mm. Whereas, like, for example, you look at Liverpool. it was a lot of Van Dijk was getting a lot of the credit because people say Trent defensively is not that great.
And Matip.
Matip was coming in, or Joe Gomez. Yeah. It was all kind of.
He was the mainstay.
It was given to Van Dijk, but that's what you want. You want two people to be spoken about collectively, man. That's what partnerships are. There's not enough focus for me in football anymore on partnerships. Mm. Partnerships is so important, bro. Center midfield partnership. Obviously, back in the day, it used to be strike force partnership. Partnerships is what football is about, and Saliba and Gabriel are representing that so well, bro.
Ronaldo speaking about, or Rio asked him, like, when did you realize that it's time to change from dribbling to shooting? And he said it took time. Mm-hmm. He realized that you can't win things dribbling all the time because defenders are, they're more aware these days. They understand how to nullify that. Rashford's striking ability is second to none.
Yeah.
And we've seen him at his most, like you said, his most efficient was when he was quote unquote playing as a striker. Yeah. And he can, the issue we have is that on the left-hand side, Garnacho for me is, I like him there. Amad on the right, I love it. But we've got two strikers with Xerxes and Højlund. It would be a waste of money and resources to put Rashford up there.
But that's the thing.
But if you want to win things...
We've seen when Manchester United are best is when Marcus Rashford is at his best. Mm. You know what I mean? He has that effect on the team. Mm. And now, look, I'm not saying that Rashford can't do the wing thing no more. Mm. But one thing that we keep wanting is, we're looking at Rashford and we're saying, we want better performances from him on the wing. Get on the ball, take people on, create. But he's not doing that. Mm. You know what I mean? And no disrespect to him, but maybe that side of his game is gone. Mm. But one thing that Rashford can do is shoot. One thing that Rashford do is he's sharp. Get him closer to goal. You've got a player that has scored 30 goals before in a season. Not many people can say that. Mm. 30 goals. We're talking about Bakayo, Saka, Foden. They haven't scored 30 goals in a season. Mm. You know what I mean? He's scored 20-something in his seasons before as well. So he has an eye for goal. Get him closer to goal. All of this Rashford get on the ball and do a 50-yard ping down to Amad. I want Rashford now killing. Mm. I want him killing. And I think when he's playing up front, yes, he can fade through games. And which we saw even when he was in this form, he was fading through games sometimes. But he was always getting on the end of things. Mm. He was scoring. He was a threat. I honestly think like in 2024, I think he's more productive and effective as a striker than he is as a winger. Young Rash before the back injuries, he'll take you on, he'll excite you. But now it looks like he's not got that same level of burst. I actually think up front, I saw him against, I know it's Barnsley, Palace would be a completely different thing. We're probably not going to play him up front anyway. But against, just looks freer. He was popping up on the right, he was popping up on the left, he was up top. I don't know. I just think he's a better striker.
That's not crazy.
Days,
for me personally, that's not a crazy take because I think when Rashford's one-on-one on goal or when he's kicked the ball past someone, like I remember the goal he scored against Arsenal at the Emirates last season. That was Rashford. Mm. That was Rashford doing what he's best at. And I think we've got to give him that freedom to be the best that he can be. I think he's got his confidence back now. Let's not stop it now by putting him back in a position that he's probably struggled in. Mm. And like you said, I know Rashford's got a great, he can ping a ball, but I don't want to see that. You're right. Mm. I want to see him scoring goals.
Bagging.
Yeah, I want to see him scoring goals because that does a lot for confidence.
Yeah, I mean, imagine I know he's always been a winger, right, Salah, so maybe it's not a great example, but imagine Salah just tomorrow just saying, I want to play somewhere else. Mm. And you're thinking, brother, like you this inside forward thing is what you are. And Salah just saying, nah, do you know what, I want to play on the left or something and control the game. You'll be like, bro, Salah, you're a ball, you're good, but bro, the best thing for you is bagging. Mm. You know what I mean? And that's what I think with Rashford. I don't think Rashford gives you performances enough for me to say it subsides him not scoring. Mm. You see Hazard, David Silvers, or them type of players, they don't have to score, but they can give you a great game, 10 out of 10. Mm. Rashford's not one of them. Rashford, for a great game, he has to score on assist. Mm. He is the reality. I don't think it's one of them ones where, performances over his effectiveness. No, I think Rashford needs to be an effective player. Rashford needs to be a GA player. Mm. That's where you get the best of Marcus Rashford, bro. So, that's my take on it anyway. I think that's where he should be playing.
Do we win against Palace?
We got battered 4-0 there last time. You know, I was at that game.
Yeah, I remember that. I think you was close to tears that day.
Bruv, 4-0. So I don't, Palace away. This is a big test. This is a big test, bro. You actually learn more about us in these games than you do in the big games, bro.
Yeah.
This is a big one. And our away record is terrible. Do United win?
The fact that you're thinking about it,
5:30 as well.
I think United at 12:30, yeah, United at 5:30, it's horror, bro, man. Yeah. They've had too much steak. And then Palace. Their belly's just heavy. It's just a myth. But
back to being dark at around 6 o'clock. You know what I mean? I don't
know. And Selhurst Park ain't an easy stadium to go to, man. You know? Like, even to play in.
Yeah.
I play there.
Fair enough, mate.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
I'm going to be patriotic.
Yeah.
Going to be tribal. Yeah. I'm going to go for...
Top
2-1.
Red, United Red,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, nah, I've dropped that gimmick.
Okay. Was it a gimmick then?
You know what I mean? Nah, it became a gimmick after a while, you know? Yeah, after Liverpool, mate.
I know, we saw through you. Yeah, we saw through you.
2-1.
2-1 United?
I'm going to go for it.
All right. Well, there's you? A player... No, don't ask me. I'm always positive, innit, with United, innit? I'm always positive, but... I just feel like, how can we go from winning 3-0, not conceding, winning 7-0, not conceding, and then just fuck it up again? So for me, I think, yes, Man United will win. I think it will be very tight. I think we'll win 1-0. I think it'll be a 1-0. I think we'll probably defend as much as we can. I think De Ligt showed a lot of positives as well. I really, really like him as a defender. Like I said, on the ball, I don't think he's the greatest, but that's not what I want you for. I want you to just literally be a powerhouse in defence and just nullify anything that comes your way. And he did that. Scored a goal as well. So he's got a good eye for goal, especially being in the right place. Could have got two.
He scores goals every season.
Yeah. He's got a good record. No, he's got a good record. So I think if him and Martinez, if they can just build that relationship, make it stronger, then yeah. But I think we'll win that game 1-0. But there's a player that you mentioned last season when we was doing our rankings about being world class.
Yeah.
And I said to you, it's too soon. I said, there's no way this player can be that. Definitely we can see it, but I don't think so. And I'm here to say you was right. Lamine Yamal. Now, you and Lia spoke about him, about how great he's been under Hansi Flick, but... I've seen it with my own eyes, not only in the Euros, but the start of this season. This kid is something special. I don't know if we've seen anything like this at such a young age, being able to take the game by the scruff of the neck. And the team is basically relying on him, whether or not it's Spain, whether or not it's Barcelona, yeah? What did you see when you mentioned that he was a top player? And how good does it feel to know that whatever you saw is actually now coming into fruition?
You know what? It's just maturity, bro. It's the touches. And as I said, the maturity, the confidence. Gets on the ball. He knows what he wants to do. He doesn't take long to make decisions. As soon as he gets it, I'm trying to beat the fullback. I'm trying to be a problem. I'm trying to be a threat. And the thing is, this is the difference when you see some talents, right? Yes, everyone's a great... You can have a great football talent base, which he has. There's pretty much nothing that he can't really do. But it's about, have you got an IQ to go with it? If you have high IQ at such a young age, you're a special player most of the time. You look at someone like Dembele, all the talent in the world, still hasn't put it together. Just the other day, he was one-on-one with the goalkeeper. Took so long, the defender ended up tackling him. One-on-one, it was unbelievable. So when you look at Yamal, he doesn't waste time like that. Instantly knows what he wants to do. The mind is just set. And that's when I was like, okay, you're 16 and you have this already. Cool. Because as I said, we've seen young players come and rip man and whatever, but it's about you also have the end product with it. When you can also have the end product with it at that young age, then you know he's going to the top. And you're looking at the passes that he can do. Then when I learned more about him as well, was in the Euros, is that I always say with the wingers, all right, cool, you can dominate your flank. You can dominate your fullback. When you can start coming inside the pitch and being a problem, you're well above your age, bro.
I found him himself in different positions.
And he was in the 10 position.
And he had the freedom to do so.
And he was, we were at the Euro final. Yeah. Every time he got the ball,
it was scary.
Everyone stood.
It was scary.
That's the reality. And he got the assist in the final as well. So when I look at Yamal, I just think the maturity levels of him is what sets him apart. And I was like, that's what I said. That's why I brought it up today. Like, I just wanted to ask you about young players. Now, I'm not saying that he's the greatest young player we've ever seen, but in terms of the young players that you've seen in football, like, where do you like see him? And who are the best young players? Who are the best young talents that Harry Pinheiro has watched with his own eyes?
Wow. I think Kylian Mbappe, when I first saw Kylian Mbappe at Monaco,
yeah,
I just thought, okay, he's here to control football. Like, it's, I think when I look at young players, one thing that really draws me towards them is how fearless they are.
Yeah.
How risky they are with the way they play, the audacity of of going up against your seniors and embarrassing them and making sure that, and then just having the freedom to do what they want. And Mbappe, for me, embodied that. I think, obviously, Lionel Messi. Like, that was, like, I think he's the, probably the poster boy of a teenager absolutely taking the world by storm.
When you watched Messi at 18, 17, okay, let's see when he scored the goal from Ronaldinho. Did you think you're watching a potential GOAT, though? GOAT is exaggerated. Did you think you're potentially watching an era-defining player?
No. I saw him and I thought, okay, this player, he looks very shy. He doesn't say much. But on the pitch, he's just ridiculously good, right? And I felt like he was being babied by the Barcelona players that were the seniors to say, look, go and do it. Yeah. Like, go and do it. And he started to believe as time goes on. When I saw Mbappe, Mbappe had aura. He had the aura of, of that player. And I think Messi is he doesn't have the aura. His football is the aura. So I think it was very different, But one of my favourite players isn't someone who generally I felt like some people forget about was Michael Owen. Because I saw that live. I saw it happening with my own eyes. Was the fact that you've gone to a World Cup and you've taken the, like, you took that game. That was that Argentina game.
Did you watch the 98 World Cup?
Yeah, I was there.
Damn. I'm sorry.
I watched that in its entirety. And to this day, apart from the 2022 Qatar World Cup, that's my favourite World Cup. Some of the best players ever to play the game were in that. Like, in their prime. Zidane, R9, do you know what I'm trying to say? Bergkamp. Like, these were, this is when I fell in love with football. Maybe it's a bit of nostalgia there. That's got me there. But the likes of, like, Michael Owen, these players at a young age were just being, having fun. I like when I see players destroy players, but then have a smile on their face. I remember that celebration that he did. Like he's enjoying, he's enjoying his game. And I think with Lamine, like, he, trajectory, like, what he's doing already, and you mentioned it, like I said, when you spoke to Leah, is about how amazing he is. But then Barca are based around him already. That shows you that he is the future. So he would, them guys would be mad. I didn't get to see, like, R9 when he was a teenager.
It looks sweet.
But what I saw, I mean, I don't think we've seen anything like that. But what about you? Who would you say?
You know, I think, obviously, I've seen all the clips of Owen and stuff. His teenage days was just before me, you know what I'm trying to say? But when I look at, you know what? I think one that gets overlooked and doesn't get spoken about enough is, because we always speak about Messi. We always speak about Owen. They always speak about Mbappe. But I think one that doesn't get spoken about is Neymar. I actually think Neymar, I think because it was in Brazil, but what he was doing, you knew a storm is coming. Like, there was always these YouTube gimmicks, like, that you used to see growing up. Like, we used to see all these YouTube gimmicks, like Hachim Mastor. Do you remember? And, like, you know, Pastore and all these type of guys that we used to, Lucas Moura. We used to see all these guys.
Lucas Moura was dirty.
Yeah, we used to see all these, like, guys. But there was something different about Neymar, bro. He was making us go on YouTube to watch Brazilian football, bro. Come on, bro. When did I used to type in, like, Santos just to watch this Neymar. Because people
Mohican.
You're just thinking.
Was it a mullet or a Mohican?
Yeah, it was like a mixture, but I don't even know. But the guy was on, he had the little, remember he used to put the tape on his nose? Neymar just had this look about him, and then you just saw the ability, and you started talking, seeing them talk about next Pele, next this. But we had heard that about Robinho, next Pele, which he looks ridiculous as well. But Neymar's just something was a different feel. I remember Joey Barton making a legendary tweet about him saying, Justin Bieber of football. He's a he's a YouTube player or something like that. And then I remember he played against Scotland. This was the first time we got to see him on, like, English soil or on our TVs properly. And he destroyed Scotland. And it was just from there. He was like, this guy's going to be different. The flicks, the tricks, the legendary game against Flamengo, him versus Ronaldinho.
Beautiful game. They scored so much goals individually as well.
They call it the best game never shown.
Yeah.
The best game you've never seen. Like, honestly, if anyone's on YouTube, go and watch that game. It's so good. But like Neymar, I just think in terms of talent, you know, we're talking about what guys have done. And even though Neymar are doing a lot, in terms of what guys have done, we talk about this. And, but in terms of just seeing a talent where you're like, hold on a second, let me just take a sit back. That's Neymar for me. Because Mbappe, mad talent, but it's a lot about what he'd done. Mm. He scored goals, he's fit. But Neymar's just pure football raw ability.
I think you're right. Wow. When we talk about the enjoyment of the football, the game that we love, I think Ronaldinho is the one that we speak about. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed watching Ronaldinho play. He didn't even need to score a goal. It was just, what's he going to do next? What's he going to do next? And I got that same feeling from Neymar. But then also what made Neymar such a top world-class player was that what he did, the effectiveness, when he went to Europe and he went to Barcelona, we saw that he is not just a YouTube player. Mm-hmm. He's him.
Yeah.
And I think when you compare like a lot of Brazilian players that are top players in their country, when they go to Europe, things change. Mm-hmm. We look at Lucas Moura.
Yeah.
I saw the YouTube comps of him and I thought...
Ganso.
Yeah, Ganso. Bro, that one hurts a lot of people. If you're a pure football fan, you know Ganso was that... We thought it was him and Neymar that was going to come and take over.
It was, I thought it was like new Kaká and Ronaldinho.
Yeah, type. Like it was that. But Neymar is someone that I think is super, super disrespected. Mm. And it takes for people that...
It's you that went viral disrespecting him, pal.
Disrespecting him?
Yeah, man. When you... Oh, no, you were the one supporting
him. Put your hand off him, bro. I said, bro, like...
I forgot. You said Neymar over Ronaldinho.
Yeah, I just preferred Neymar. Yeah. Like, generally, I love Ronaldinho with my heart. But Neymar, for me, I enjoyed like everything about him as a football player.
Yeah.
And he's fair. Also, honorable mention, your good friend, Wayne Rooney.
Ah,
Wayne Rooney. Yeah, like that was, he was a 35-year-old player at 18.
Yeah.
Like he had aura, audacity. And we always speak about like that goal against Arsenal. Mm-hmm. That was a catalyst for his career to then become the player that he was. But he also embodied that I don't care who you are. I will disrespect you and I'll show you that I'm here to stay.
And this is the thing. You look at every young player that we've mentioned, R9, Rooney, CR7 Messi. CR7
even, bro.
CR7. CR7's is a little bit different because I think
it was CR7, a slow burner.
Yeah, because CR7 still very early was struggling with his decision making and stuff. So his is just... Ronaldo is a special case in football, bro. Like he's like an example. He's an exception to many rules. Yeah, I mean, he's just a fake guy in his own way. But you talk about these guys like Messi, Rooney, Yamal, Mbappe, whoever, all the guys that we said, Neymar, they just had this level of correct decision making so early in their career. So early, bro. Like Foden didn't have that. Saka, all these guys that we talk about now, they're developing. Mm. But these men just came through. And it's like, even though their build, maybe I said something, Rooney, maybe their build isn't like a 30-year-old, but their mind is like a 30-year-old, bro. Yep. And that is what sets it apart. Ronaldo, crazy talent, Euros team of the tournament at 18 and stuff, but he was still frustrating. We all know that. Me and you lived through Cristiano as a teenager, bro. He was frustrating. And then he ended up getting it together. But these men, they just walk into the game as if they've been here 10 years already.
No nerves whatsoever. Yeah, you can see it. So, Cams, I've got a little test for you. Aye. Now, this one here, I believe that you should do really, really well.
I overslept.
Okay. So what I'm thinking to do, because I feel like this would be very easy for you, I'm thinking, I might change the question as we go along. All but can you name the top 10 players with the most assists in Premier League history?
Wow.
The top 10 players with the most assists in Premier League history.
Okay.
Your time starts now.
Okay. Giggs.
Yep. Giggs is number one.
Rooney.
Hold on. Wait for me. Wayne Rooney is number four.
Fabregas.
Fabregas is number three.
Yep. KDB. Number two.
Number two.
Yeah. Dennis Bergkamp.
Number six.
Yeah. Frank Lampard.
Number five.
Yeah. Is it James Milner?
Number nine.
Yeah. Then most assists. David Beckham.
Number 10.
Yeah. So I've got two more.
Yep.
Okay. Thierry Henry?
No.
Okay.
He's number 13.
Oh. So who was number... I said number nine, right?
Number
what was
nine
the number
is
of James Milner's number nine?
89.
So it's 90 plus. Wow. Nine. Steven Gerrard.
That's number eight.
Oh, yes. Oh, number seven. David Silva.
That is correct. 10 out of 10. All right. So you've completed that.
Yes.
This is a bonus. All right.
Okay.
Now, you already said Thierry Henry was number 13. Can you do a top 20?
Whoa.
Now, you've won this already.
Yeah. Okay.
But can you do a top 20, knowing that Thierry Henry is number 13 with 74?
And number 10 was
David Beckham.
With 80.
80. So it's 80 and below.
Okay, 80 and below. Okay. To top 20, you said?
Yeah.
Riyad Mahrez?
No.
Okay. Okay, Eric Cantona?
No.
No. He got like 90 assists. Okay. Trent?
No. So I'm going to give you a clue. Majority of these players are no longer playing.
Only are they in the 90s or are they in the 2000s?
Mixture. Mixture. Only one, two, and three are still playing.
One, two, and three. Okay, Raheem Sterling?
No.
Okay, wow. And Henry is 13 with 74.
74, yeah. I should have done top 20 because I knew you would smash the 10, but I thought, you know what? Let me just make it a bit difficult. You have 2 more minutes left.
Okay.
So far, you've got 11 out of 20.
Okay. So you got a thingy in there.
I'll give you one more.
Salah.
Yes. Okay. Salah is 16th.
Hazard.
With 69. No.
Oh my goodness, bro. Salah 16 for 69.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's 2 more players that are currently playing.
Currently playing. Wow. And they're in the Premier League right now.
Yep.
So I've got to think about the top players now. Are they top players like right now?
I wouldn't say top players, but distinguished players.
Okay. Andrew Robertson?
No.
My goodness, bro.
I'll give you another clue. Think of them. They're strikers. A lot of them are strikers.
I thought they might be. Okay, Robin Van Persie.
No.
Wow, he's not one of them. Is Andy Cole in there?
Yes, he is. He's 14th with 73.
Cole. Yeah, okay. Andy Cole. And then there's, and you said there's strikers. Strikers. It's not Kun Aguero. It's not there, is it?
Nah. 30 seconds.
Cristiano is not there?
Nah.
Oh yeah, this is tough. Sadio Mane.
Nah.
Oh yeah, fuck about. This is 20. Giroud.
No.
Oh my lord. Teddy Sheringham.
Teddy Sheringham's 11th.
Yeah, okay. Teddy.
But he's
Sheringham.
Joint 11th.
Joint 11th with another striker.
No.
He's joint 11th with.
And that is time.
Ashley Young.
Ashley Young is 15th.
Wait, hold on. Let me claw it back, man. Let me claw it back.
Okay, go on.
Ashley Young, okay.
So you've currently got 11, 12, 13, 14.
So I need 6 more.
Yeah.
Give me 2 more minutes. Give me one more minute.
No, that doesn't work that way.
20, get to 20.
Ding and ding.
Oh my days.
In all fairness, Cams, you've done incredibly well because you've got 15 out of 20.
So who's left?
So Christian Eriksen. It's joint 11th with Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah. Eriksen, I should
remember. Darren Anderton.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Gareth Barry.
I was going to say Barry, but I just thought.
Alan Shearer.
Damn.
And Matt Letizier.
Ah. Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Darren Anderton. I wouldn't have got all 20 then. He would have slipped my mind.
162 assists for Ryan Giggs is mental. All right, guys, thank you so much. We want to say thank you, actually, because we've just hit 20K subscribers as well. This channel is obviously a slow burner, but every single person that likes, comments, that listens, we all appreciate you guys to keep the support going. I've been Harry Panera. It's been Culture Cams, the Inside Scoop. See you next time.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.